This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and this morning I'm joined by Jerry Spearing. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
I'm great, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So, Jerry, I know you from various walks in Johnson County, but we're going to talk today about affordable housing or workforce housing, or it has a number of different names, and I'm sure we will get to that too. But the last time we sat down and discussed this together, you were in the early stages of trying to help be part of a solution to a housing crisis that we're experiencing, particularly in Buffalo, but in Johnson County, which is that really people can't afford to come and find somewhere to live. They can't afford to move into our community. There's a lack of affordable housing. And you were anxious about this, and you've been doing a great deal of work. You've taken it upon yourself to try and be part of a solution to that. And when we last met, you were talking to various entities and elected officials in town and the county and trying to get a group together to be part of moving this forward. That group was created and you've been meeting, and I'd like to try and catch up on what's been going on.
Yeah, we have formed the Affordable Housing Work Group, and we have a county commissioner and a city councilor, hospital CEO, school superintendent, bank president, and our two county planning officer and our city planning and zoning, our building inspector officer as part of the group. And we've been visiting with and having presentations by several people from this area of concern around the state. And we've had, for example, like Brandy Harlow with the Wyoming Business Council. We've had Liz from Sheridan on a phone conversation. And a number of other people just trying to understand what's possible.
Because it's not just Johnson County that is experiencing this issue. It's
right.
A statewide issue. And in fact, it seems to be something that many states around the nation are actually struggling with. It's how to find and provide houses and places for people to either purchase or to rent that they can afford to live in.
Correct.
And so your idea was to do some fact-finding, try not to reinvent the wheel, see what works in communities similar to ours, and bring those ideas back to Johnson County. Some people may have heard about a visit to Red Lodge, Montana, that happened recently. Maybe you'd tell us what that was and why you went.
Yeah, a number of us, in fact, there were seven total, took a trip to Red Lodge and were met with the RLACF, Red Lodge Area Community Foundation. And what we learned was really impressive. It was that group has been in existence for 25 years. They are a community foundation. And in 2014, they took on affordable housing. And they run their foundation with steering committees, and they created a workforce housing steering committee that directs the efforts there with the foundation. And so it basically directs what the foundation does for projects for that. There's a lot of details in how they've done it, but they've been very successful since 14 in building units. They've actually got stuff done. We toured one set of units, looked at a couple other things and how they were able to accomplish it. So there's a lot of work to do. They've been at it 25 years, but it's been very interesting. They've got 17 directors on their board, but they're a community foundation. They do other things like they helped with the restoration after the Red Lodge floods from 2 years ago. They helped with a community center. They do a lot of individual support things for other nonprofits in the area. But the housing group is what we're most interested in.
So is Red Lodge a sufficiently comparable type of community to, say, Buffalo?
Yeah.
What are the commonalities that struck you?
Well, first of all, I was initially, people responded when I mentioned Red Lodge, is that they've got a lot more money in the community than we do. And I think that's a mistaken perception. There's a lot of interest in their foundation that draws in a lot of support, financial and volunteer hours to their community foundation, because they have been in existence and they've really pushed and done great things with it. And when you look at the types of things they've done and the types of support they've got, and where the both financial and volunteer support comes from, it's very comparable to Buffalo. Tourism is a very big thing in Red Lodge. It is here. They have a lot of agricultural interest in that area, because they also work within Carbon County, Montana, which, when you look at it, it has very similar things. So there's a lot of similarities. They're smaller. It's amazing. They're a smaller organization, community, excuse me. They have, I think, under 3,000 people. But the surrounding area, you know, they got more close-in towns than Buffalo does. So the surrounding area is very similar.
So you found it was a worthwhile visit of representatives from Buffalo. What did you discover? What did you discover and learn that you're excited to bring back here? And is that going to be applicable? What are the next steps here?
Yeah, what we've decided as our workforce, our affordable housing work group, is to create a foundation. And we're not going to model it on what they are now. They've been in existence for 25 years and are capable of doing amazing things. We're going to focus on a foundation. It's going to be a community foundation, which in the future can do whatever, but for our communities. But now it's going to focus on all the questions around affordable housing. Workforce, you know, whether it's apartments, whether it's attainable housing, any of those names all really kind of apply to what we're going to try to do.
So when we talk about housing, are we talking about new builds in various areas that could be filled in around Buffalo itself? Are we talking about homes to buy or homes to rent? And also, what sort of homes? Who for? What sort of income groups?
That's the interesting part of what Red Lodge has done. They've actually created, I don't know, I've lost track of the number of homes that are built and owned. They've created rental units. And they're finishing up 4 beautiful little small homes for rent. Part of their initial working was with Habitat for Humanity. So there's a number of owner-built homes that they've completed. That's not available to us because we don't have a Habitat for Humanity here, and Red Lodge has lost their access to that. So they're kind of wondering what they're going to do for that aspect of their housing program. you know, I mean, they're very experienced, so they've got some solid ideas and are proceeding forward. So we're learning from them, but we look at trying to accomplish through inducement, through new projects, through any, you know, kind of any assistance we can create to actually get something built in town. The level of our ability to help induce contractors to build affordable housing is going to have to be how many financial resources we have and what kind of liaisons or agencies we can work with. There really isn't a Habitat for Humanity. That's a pretty great way of getting things to happen. But it comes with a certain type of home and a certain structure, and they're not creating more Habitat for Humanity organizations. In fact, as you look around, at least in our region, they're kind of drying up.
So the first steps for the foundation, which is really just in its sort of establishment phase right now, what are the first steps of the foundation going to be?
So we got articles of incorporation being sent to Cheyenne to get developed our foundation, which will be a 501c organization. The next step is to create a set of bylaws to, you know, work under, and then we have to kind of intermingle in priority. We need somebody, an executive director, to run bigger projects. We need a source income, which is grants or donations, and we need a project. And I'm sure that we have to start small to get everything rolling. So my goal, my personal goal at this moment, is to identify a small project and to get the resources to make it happen, and start there with the idea that we can do much more as we move along.
So a bit like Red Lodge, as you described, sort of built its way up to the established, proven track record organization that it now is, you would follow those steps,
right,
and take from their learning, or their things that you really feel that you can directly pull from their learning, from both successes and maybe mistakes from, yep, Red Lodge.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I met with board members and with their executive director and with their construction manager, and they've done a lot. You know, one of the things they're doing as a foundation is they now are building and owning property and collecting rent. Well, that's a bit much for a brand new organization to handle. And so maybe we can get that far. That'd be wonderful if we can have an actual, like, let's say, an apartment building, and collect rent. That kind of helps fund the foundation. But that's a big step, and that's a bit beyond where I am personally, being able to manage and think about.
So you say a small project. I think it's a while, maybe a year or more, since you and I first had this conversation about affordable housing, which, and many people have been feeling the pinch from that, of not being able to kind of take the job that they wanted to take here in Johnson County, or you know, not being able to move into their own home, for example, because they can't afford to buy now. They want to move out of a rental, but there might be a place that's suitable or available, but they can't afford to buy. It does seem to be agonizingly slow. I'm sure you feel that too. What sort of a time frame are you envisaging?
Well, for the first project, you know, to get some success, I would like to identify a project that is already well thought out and just needs, I'll just say for a better word, inducement to make it happen. There are a lot of details around what could be and what the inducement could be, but I want to identify a project that you can get started on. And, you know, anybody that's built anything knows that you don't build them in 3 months even. You know, you can't have an occupied structure in 3 months. Very difficult. So it's going to be, if we can identify a project that's already trying to start or whatever, and we can induce them to move in this direction, and what I mean is affordability, then it could be in less than a year.
So that raises the important question of how do we get around this problem that a developer or a contractor or somebody who is interested in providing affordable housing cannot afford to create it for an affordable price. So the profit margin between building that or developing that and then what they can actually turn around and sell it for does not make it worth it. That is where the pinch is. How can you get around that problem?
That is what our foundation needs to do, is get around that pinch. Sometimes it's infrastructure, and it's infrastructure surprisingly expensive.
You mean that infrastructure is in some way subsidized or provided to a developer from somewhere else?
Because if you think about water and sewer, for example, or city services, if it's inside the city limits, and the city can't afford to just provide that. So if the foundation can get the funds and resources to provide that to a contractor to a development project and say, here is the infrastructure, then I think that's a good inducement. Is it enough to make it affordable? That gets to be details, and which are very important, and how much is needed, and does it include streets and curbs and gutters? You know, all of those are details, and then because we'll be a 501c, we have to be careful that we're not just lining the pockets of a contractor, so to speak. So what we'll have to do is to walk that line that says this will be affordable, and how is it going to be affordable, and this is what we can do to help it get there. And a lot of those, I don't personally know how to do all that at this point. There's lots of ideas. Lots of people around the state are doing exactly the same thing, and so there's a lot of resources. You know, I'm in contact with a lot of different state agencies, and I'm also a part of the Wyoming Housing Coalition, I think it is, that meets once a month to talk about things.
So are there pots of money that provide those sweeteners that we've just described to help get around the pinch, so to speak? Are there sufficient pots of money? Do you feel confident about that?
I feel confident about the money being, their funds being available. I think to get those funds, if it's a grant, you have to have a very structured organization to be able to participate in grants.
So what kind of organizations are putting that money for foundations such as this one to be awarded?
Well, there are, that's a huge subject. The more I ask, the more I learn, and the more I don't know. But there's money from HUD, Housing Urban Development. There's money from the Agricultural Department of Agriculture. There's money from the Department of, I don't even know where that comes from exactly, but Department of Transportation, the Infrastructure Act from federal government. And there's local sources of money. There's money from the state of Wyoming. Wyoming is, this budget session is considering a $50 million housing something that we'll see what happens there. But all of them require a solid organization, a solid, like, for example, a city could apply for it, but it takes a very dedicated project run by the city, which is what I feel a foundation can provide without having to involve the city in terms of resources. Looking at it, doing this outside of the city. The other source of money that's available, and that, like we learned in Red Lodge, is there's a lot of local money that people who support this effort are willing to basically donate to if you have a good, solid organization and good, solid goals. One of the most surprising things we learned in Red Lodge is they have a fun run that in 2022 they raised $300,000 for their foundation from a fun run. I was just shocked. So was everybody else in our group. And there's ways to do that, but it takes organization, thinking, and structure. You know, I mean, if you're going to get just an outright donation, you have to be able to show, aside from the need, you have to be able to show what you're going to do with it, how it's going to work, how it's going to help the situation. So that's what we're trying to get to.
Well, thank you for bringing us up to date with the steps towards providing a solution to our housing crisis. Thank you for all that you're doing for this, and I hope that we can talk again.
You bet.